Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Foods & Inns Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Milind Dalal, followed by Anand Krishnan from Foods & Inns Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shubhangi. Dear fellow shareholders, future shareholders, and analysts, good afternoon. And at the outset, we'd just like to mention that from my side, which is the open offer which concluded last week, had a kind of a subdued interest. Having said that, I was able to accumulate over 500,000 shares under 1%. And any which way, the open offer now stands closed. And I thought it was appropriate for me to just address on this call. As I'm currently out of office, I would like Anand to take over and take the call forward. I'm very much there on the line, hoping that it does not drop at any stage. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anand Krishnan, the CFO at Foods & Inns Limited. Thank you for joining us, and I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants of our Q1 FY25 investor conference call. Q1 FY25 started with the same momentum of volume growth as in Q4 of FY24 until the 15th of June, after which the exports got plagued with unavailability of containers and high freight costs, because of which a lot of export shipments got deferred. Also, around 11 crores of export shipments, which were done after the 15th of May, which were in the nature of DDP and CFR shipments, which resulted in income recognition getting pushed to Q2 of FY25, as the shipments had not reached the port of destination. This deferment, based on income recognition standards, was on the basis of the accounting standards for income recognition based on terms of trade as guided by the ICAI. Processing of mangoes was lower by around 25% in FY25 due to lower crop availability in South India. Tuticorin raw material prices were almost double of what we procured in FY24, and Alfonso was slightly cheaper than what we actually procured in FY24. Lower production of tomato and guava products in FY24 also contributed to lower sales in Q1 FY25. With a good monsoon, we expect the crops like tomato, guava, papaya, and other vegetables to do well in FY25. We have more than doubled our tomato processing capacity and expect to do well in tomato category in FY25, with encouragement of repeat orders for tomato-based canned products in our brand name in the Hong Kong market. We are confident to grow our branded portfolio. Our new pastry line is doing extremely well and enthused by the market and the response we are getting for the product. We are planning to expand the pastry line further by around two more lines in the immediate future. We continue to witness growth in the frozen vegetables and snacks category in the export markets, with expansion of product categories and geographies. With respect to the KUSUM business, we witnessed a 24% growth YOY. Tetra Ricard is one segment where we have not been able to get inroads into top brands for contract manufacturing for them, but product development along with product testing with brand as per the requirement is going on, which should help us garner traction in Tetra Ricard in FY25. With respect to what numbers we can actually guide you with for Tetra Ricard, we would request you to give us time till the end of FY25 to give you concrete numbers on the same. As I come to the end of my opening remark, I would like to thank each one of you for your support and your invaluable presence on this call. Now I request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you all may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, 3 questions. One, with regard to the recently closed open offer, what has been the response in the open offer? What kind of shares have been tendered? Maybe you may not give the exact number, but some range, what kind of numbers are there? Secondly, sir, yes, you have alluded in your presentation as well as your initial remarks about the volume growth in terms of the pulp business. But even if I exclude the export problems, even on the domestic front, the growth is hardly 5%, sir. So because we were guiding for almost around 20% volume growth for quarter one, and in fact, as late as the plant visit also, we were talking about the same. So anything to understand, even in domestic, we are facing some issues. Lastly, with regards to the tomato category, you mentioned about the repeat orders on tomato products and also within our brand name in Hong Kong. So what kind of potential do you see in this in terms of, because last call you had mentioned about one of the orders, large orders which you couldn't do because of lack of capacity. So these are my 3 questions, sir.
Hi, Rahul, I'll take the first question regarding the response of open offer. While I did mention in my opening remark, but it's a public knowledge and I have no hesitation in confirming you to that I got 5,212,000 shares to be precise. Anand, you may kindly answer the rest, please.
Yes. So Rahul, so he got around 5 lakh shares, which was good enough for him to actually, cross the 25% threshold, which was actually required for him to make any further creeping acquisitions, which was actually required. So that answers question number 1 of yours. Second, with respect to the volume growth, yes, we actually had a lot of problems with respect to the income recognition standard as well as unavailability of containers in Q1. So income recognition standards actually say that if it's a DDP shipment or a CFR shipment, unless the vessel actually reaches the port of the customer, you cannot recognize the income in your P&L statement. So that gets deferred to around Q2 of this year. That's to the tune of around 11 odd crores. Also, what actually happened is that all the orders that we actually had with respect to the export in hand, because of the unavailability of containers and the high freight cost, a lot of these export shipments got deferred. The call-offs are not in our hand, but basically as per what our customers need. Domestic market, I'd leave my CEO to actually answer and give you an idea as to how exactly the domestic market is shaping up.
How are you, Ji? Mola here. You are right. In domestic market, we had a plan, we are targeted to have around 20% growth, but eventually we have landed around 5-6% growth in the domestic market. The reason behind that, in the month of, from June, second week onwards, we have been, whatever target volume have been given to us by the brands where we supply the major volume, we can see a downfall in the volume. One of the reasons that one of the big brands who consume huge volume from us, a couple of their facility, the bottling line, there is some breakdown. And due to that, they have to shut down the facility for 6 to 7 days because what we understand, some critical equipment which is required for this line, they had to import and that took time. So we lost around 7-8 days time And in the peak season during summer, 7-8 days is a big thing. So for the, because as you know, as we earlier also communicated, between January to June, Indian beverage industry for the juice category, they consume more than 65% of their volume. So that has affected us. Even though if we are able to supply that 7-8 days, which we lost it, I believe we could have able to achieve around between 12 to 16% somewhere as per our calculation. And another is, I think you may assume that these are the excuses you are giving. It's not like that. Another thing is that one of the local brands, Tomato, though we got the order and orders in hand and everything has been done, but they also deferred the dispatch in July instead of June. So these are all affected basically lower volume growth in domestic market. But subsequently in early July, we are able to match up.
So Rahul, with respect to your third question on the Tomato orders in hand, so what we had actually told you, just for revision sake and for the clarity of everyone on the call, is basically we had told you that we had did not have capacity, and as and when you had actually come to our plant, we had also shown you the capacity that we have actually built up, wherein we have more than doubled our tomato processing capabilities. Last year we had a 150 crore order which we could have possibly taken. We couldn't take that order because we didn't have the capacity. That capacity will be commissioned in October this year, and the tomato season for this particular year starts only after October. So we will now be placed with capacity to actually take up the order if it comes our way. That is where we stand. I hope I have answered your questions satisfactorily.
Just a clarification. So basically, with the tomato part, you are saying that today the kind of inquiries which you have or the discussions which are there with in Hong Kong, you can end up getting a large size, 150 crore kind of an order?
No. You are confusing two things. So Hong Kong is a very small market for us. It is the brand that we are trying to sell in Hong Kong. Basically, it's the Green Top brand that we are trying to sell in Hong Kong. With respect to the large 150 crore order, we actually had an order for tomato processing in the B2B space last year, which we couldn't take up because of the lack of capabilities. So Hong Kong and these are two different things. So please don't confuse both of them.
Sure. Got it. Thank you so much for the details.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shyam Garg, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to what is the value of the container that was dispatched post 15th of May and have not reached destination.
So the value of that container was around 11 odd crores. I think we have given that number in the investor presentation as well.
Okay. So
something 10.7 or 10.8 crores to be precise.
There are two things. One is that the shipment which you could make it and but we could not recognize due to the compliance guideline accounting standard, that is 10.76 crores. But since 15th of June onwards, we are having a serious issue in India on the shipment because most of the vessels are skipping India and going to China because much lucrative freight rate. I've given a small example. From China to US, the freight rate is between $15,000 to $20,000 for 120 feet containers. Whereas from India, it is $5,000 to $6,000. So most of the vessels now skipping and going to China due to the Christmas demand in US. So apart from the 10.76 crores, which we were able to make the shipment but could not recognize, we also lost another 10-12 crores of shipment. If the vessel could have available, we could have done the shipment. So that's another, which is not mentioned in the note, but this is another, cause which has affected lower volumes this quarter.
Another thing which I would like to add is also because of the high freight cost, there was a lot of deferment of the call-offs that actually happened from our export customers. So wherever we actually had FOB prices that we were actually giving to them, they deferred these Shubhan saying that it doesn't make sense to take the cost of the raw material and the shipment and put it into their brand. So that's where we actually stand. Having said that, I mean, it's no excuse. It's a matter that each and every person in the export industry has faced. If you have invested in other companies and if you have actually, those companies are exporting, I'm sure you would get very similar commentaries from them too.
But good part, sorry, Mola, good part is that now the indication is that post-September, things are going to be normalized, which the shipping company has communicated to us. And if that is so, I think from Q3 onwards, we'll be able to clear our backlog. As of today, we may have a backlog of around 30 to 40 container shipment to be unable to manage. Hopefully, by October onwards, we'll be able to manage.
Okay. I said with respect to the blended realization, what would be the blended realization for this quarter?
All the numbers are put up in the financials and the investor note that we have given. So I'm sure you can actually get all these numbers there. So the average realization for this quarter was around 88 rupees a kg. All put together as an export and domestic put together. But I'm sure you will not get much of a sense with respect to this because our product mix keeps on changing. It depends upon what product mix went. So this quarter we did not do sales of tomato or sales of guava as such. So it's not a like-to-like that you would actually get. But having said that, 88 rupees per kg was the blended realization.
Got it. Got it. So we can consider that the high value goods are in demand right now, or we are seeing any traction of lower value goods.
Shyam, if you have actually followed our company for the last few years, so what actually happens in Q1 and part of Q2 is basically the previous year's inventory gets shipped in this particular quarters. So last year was a low raw material price inventory that we actually had. So whatever that we are actually, say example, the blended price of realization per kg in Q1 of FY24 would have been 105 rupees a kg as compared to Q1 of FY25 being at 88 rupees a kg. Our business model is a complete pass on with respect to the raw material prices. So I hope you understand what I'm trying to convince here.
Got it, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from JM Financial Services PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. There was some press report about banana export opportunity, you know, from India to Russia because of some diplomacy. I was reading some reports where, you know, there was a mention that we might be interested in such opportunity. So if you can give us some sense of, you know, whether that's, progressing and, otherwise, you know, whether any other new lines which can come up, because of these trade disputes which keeps on happening from one country to other.
Abhish, so, I mean, I have personally been to Russia to develop markets in the month of December of 2023. Wherein we got in touch with a few of the largest baby food manufacturers there who actually process more fruits and vegetables than what we as Foods and Inns do in India, only for the baby food segment, as well as a few of the large traders there. But the issue there is basically with respect to banana pulping, a lot of business used to come through from Ecuador because of the proximity and the travel, I mean the transport cost being very low. So India could never match what Ecuador was doing, but you are very right in actually saying that because of the political tensions between Russia and Ecuador, there are now opportunities for the Indian companies. We have evaluated, we have given offers to the traders, but nothing has materialized with respect to what we can actually sell to them with respect to the banana theory because the cost for them seems to be very high. That's number one. Second, with respect to the baby food that we actually mentioned about, baby food actually needs a lot of non-acidified banana purees as such. So With the current capacity expansion that we have actually done in the Nashik facility, which is for the tomato processing plant, we can actually do non-acidified bananas if we can actually contract manufacture with the local area farmers out there. So we don't have non-acidified as of today, but probably that's something that we could actually see in the future days to come as such. So I hope I've answered.
Yeah, sure. And so, you mentioned that rain being good, we'll have good availability of end products and vegetables and, this thing, fruits. The question is our demand, our sales and revenue dependent on the availability of these things, or it's more a function of, the end user demand, in the sense that our clients passing on order and they in turn having demand and are increasing their market share?
Obviously, the demand will be based on the end user. So, if you see our entire portfolio, on the juice category, we are largely dependent on Indian business. So, if there is a good summer, business grows. That's experience we have. On the frozen category, that's something I'd like to highlight, that across the world, we are seeing a huge surge in demand for frozen category, especially post-COVID. So we'd like to enter. But for business development and the start of business, there's a huge time requirement, because any big brands, whether it's a private label or it's a supermarket, they need minimum 6 to 8 months time. They have their own process to evaluate, and then lot of evaluation process, testing method, creativity of the company. So this all takes minimum 8 months time. So we are all in the midway to associate with the big brands, either in US or in UK or in Europe. And we hope that in coming days we'll be able to materialize few contracts, which will give a big opportunity in frozen category in international market. We are also working in Gulf countries with some big supermarkets. So that's also under process. So these are the two segments. Now, one segment is the spray-dried powder segment. I'd like to highlight that this is a seasoning business. Last 1 year or 1.5 year, I'm seeing that this business is little flat. It's not, growing the way we have seen it. There's a not very significant growth in this sector, but yes, it's also growing in this category. So these are the all portfolio from our side. If I miss any other portfolio, these are the major three, no?
The Tetra Ricard is something that, I made comments on the opening remarks that I actually made. So, we as a company whatever we had in mind, we have not yet achieved or have not got as good a response as what we actually expected when we set up the capacity. But having said that, a lot of brands have actually tested whatever products that they wanted to manufacture. It's being kept with them for research, basically, to say so how the product reacts after 6 months time or 1 year time and things like that. So it's going slightly slow with respect to the estimates that we had. But I think by FY25 end, that's March of 25, we should give you numbers or sizable data as to how we are actually moving forward on that business.
Yeah, sure. And sir, one clarification on this open offer, was it triggered by some regulatory requirement, or it was a voluntary offer from the promoters?
It's a voluntary.
So it was a voluntary offer. So what actually happened is that Mr. Ray Simpkins wanted to become a promoter, as in Mr. Milan Dalal requested Mr. Ray Simpkins to come on board as a promoter, because he brings a lot on the table with respect to his other businesses all around the world. So one of the erstwhile partners actually de-promoterized themselves. Mr. Milan Dalal requested Mr. Ray Simpkins to come on board and help us with respect to the B2C that we could actually do globally. So that brought him on board, and it triggered open offer. And the whole idea was that Mr. Milan Dalal and Ray Simpkins together, once they crossed the 25% threshold, they could actually do any creeping acquisitions at any point of time during the year, up to 5% as such.
Sure, that helps. And sir, one last
sorry,
question.
My line had dropped, so I've not heard, but I'm sure Anand has replied. But anything specific to re ask me? Thank you.
Sure. Sure. And so this expansion of Tomato, will it comply? Is it a PLI thing or it's a normal expansion?
So we have actually done it outside the PLI because whatever we had committed under the PLI, we had already overshot that, to be honest. So the expansion of Tomato is outside PLI.
Okay. Thanks, sir, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a gentle reminder. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Raj from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
I said in the earlier call, we have guided for around 2,000 crores of sales in next 2 to 3 years. So are we sticking to that guidance?
I think you are accelerating the sales to a number more than what we actually said on that call. So the question which was put up to us is that with respect to the existing capacities that we have invested in, what is the revenue potential which is there in the business, and we had guided to around 1600 to 1800 crores of sales. So, I mean, with respect to that, we are definitely there in that ballpark. We should be there. The only caveat there is the raw material prices, because whatever we are trying to give you as numbers is based on an assumption of the raw material prices. Our business is a pass-through with respect to the RM prices. Most of our business is a pass-through, so that's where we are. But our vision is to obviously first double from where we are. So 1700 to 1800 is easily achievable in the next couple of years is what we think.
Achha, all right. So we can expect 1800 crore sales around FY 2028-29 or so. Anything around that?
I'm already giving you the data. You're asking me the same thing again.
All right. And sir, yeah. Can you update about the Pectin project?
Sorry, which project?
Pectin project. Has the sales started?
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, for Pectin project, the main raw material is the dried peel. So during mango season, we have already whatever peel wastage was there, we have already dried. Now, it will be converted into pectin now. So, I think around 4th week, 26th of August or maybe 22nd or 23rd of August, commercial run to start to produce pectin. But it's, we have already done trial run, everything is okay. So, now we are coordinating with the customers wherever you earlier submitted the sample and they are approved to make it commercial contract, but we need to keep one thing in mind. All these things require time. The reason is that before anybody issue a PO, there is an audit procedure to be followed, which is necessary for any big brands to use our product. So all, generally we have seen from our experience that any audit by the brand will take minimum 6 months time. So before we able to realize or started revenue generation, I think it will early 2025 sometimes we will be able to do the revenue generation started. But audit everything will be completing now. Thank you.
Understood. And sir, in quarter 2, quarter 3 and quarter 4 of FY25, are we expecting any major order from the Tetra Recard facility?
As Anand told that yes, we are in testing processes, the development of the product recipe is all on, and we are hoping that something to click very soon. So you may not be able to tell you whether it's early 25 or Q3 of this year. So, but we are hoping that in FY25 we will be able to have some revenue generation from that.
So Raj, as I actually told a couple of times on this call, the samples are with the brands that we have actually manufactured for. So they are actually testing the product as to how the taste is after 6 months, after 9 months, after 12 months. So they want to be shelf life proof based on which they want to place the order. So we haven't got any orders as yet, but we are hoping that we will get something before FY25 end, that's March of 25. So that's where we stand.
All right. And sir, how much is the capex are we planning to incur in FY25?
In FY25, there is nothing much that we are actually doing. So there is only one business that we are doing extremely well in, which is the pastry line, which is only one machine that we had actually imported recently. We are just planning to add a couple of those lines because that's the business that we see a lot of potential in, and there are not many competitors in India or globally. So that's something that we are trying to expand. That should not be more than 3 or 4 crores, I think.
All right. And sir, regarding the debt in FY24, and you had around 469 crores of debt. So in FY25, would you like to put any commentary on it?
So the endeavor is to actually reduce the debt, but it also depends upon whether we increase the business or not. So this year, as we explained, the raw material prices for Tuticorin has gone up. So Tuticorin being a large part of our sales, obviously the inventory blockage for that would be there. But having said that, we have actually produced less, 25% less with respect to mango this particular season because of unavailability of good quality processing variety mangoes as such. So to that extent, the working capital requirement will come down, which will automatically reduce the debt.
Alright, okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshata Telisara from Ioneers Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Could you talk a little bit on the order book that you've received so far from your customers, and also if the processing is less by 25%, then that will impact the volume growth for the next year, right? Which is, the 15 months that you talk about, the 15-month contract period.
So,
processing
is less.
One production is less. And the what is the first part of the question, sorry? We could not hear you clearly in the first part.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, no, I was asking what's the order book so far that you've got. You generally get it in the first quarter, right? So what has that been so far? And the second one is, if the processing is less by 25%, then the next 15 months wouldn't be that much of volume growth, right?
Right. So I'll just take the second part first, and then probably my CEO will give you the idea on the order book part of it. So generally, most of our procurement is based on the orders that we received. But this time, we could produce lesser than what orders that we actually received, basically because of the quality of mangoes which were actually available in the market in the processing variety. So in Tuticorin, there was a challenge because of which the prices went up. And because of which, we had a lot of inventory which we carried through from the previous year as such. So that sales will actually have already happened in Q1, and a part of it will happen in Q2. And our volume, sales volume per se in FY25 should be very similar to what, in mango I'm saying, it should be very similar to what we actually did in FY24. But where we are confident is with respect to the tomato guava actually punching their weight above what we actually did in the previous years. Because of good monsoon this year, we are expecting tomatoes to be good. And since we have also more than doubled our capacity in tomato, I think that should help us push through. And with respect to the next year, obviously the 15-month contract that we generally talk about, so in that, we would obviously have to produce something closer to the season and give them, rather than actually carrying any inventory of this season into the next year. So we have actually produced whatever we were capable of with respect to the raw materials which we were able to source. And if you want to brief on the order book?
Order book position is almost similar to like last year, and export there will be little growth, and domestic also there's a growth, but order book may not reflect the sales of that particular year, because as you know, being a seasonal industry, we produce in 3 months time of any particular product and dispatch in next 15 months time. So there will be a spillover of the sales. So
I agree to that, but just on a YOY comparison also, just wanted to check if
it will be higher than last year, definitely.
Sales volume will be higher, basically because we carried higher inventories of last year into this year, and we are expected to sell what we produced this year as well. So round about the same, but the target is to actually hope that we have faster call-ups, which can actually result into growth.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a gentle reminder. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next follow-up question is from the line of Raj from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
How much is the order book?
Order book process is on because season is just over now. So order book generally, order for the mango season likely to be over by in September or mid-October. So as of now, I don't have the ready figure available, but almost 80% of the order already confirmed and booked, and another 20-25% order what we targeted during the season, it's under negotiation.
So Raj, just to clarify this, at the beginning of the season we get indicative orders as to how much quantities that each and every brand would procure. So based on this year, basically the raw material prices have gone up, right? So based on that, the order confirmation for the rate actually happens in this period. That's August end sort of period wherein the rate gets confirmed. So this year we are in a position to allocate what we want to which brands that we want, because we have limited inventory at our end as such. So we might not be able to do all the orders that we actually get, but what we have in hand is what we'll sell.
All right. Are we expecting a growth in order book over FY24?
Sorry?
Are we expecting a growth in our order book compared to FY24 order book?
Yes.
See, the order book being higher might not necessarily help me sell higher this time. It might... with respect to the sales volume, we have already told you that it might be slightly similar or slight growth as compared to what we did last year with respect to mango. What will contribute to the growth is tomato and guava, which we did not have a great season last year, which might actually help us this year.
I couldn't get your point. There was some disturbance coming through.
Okay, I'll just repeat. I'm saying that with respect to the order book growth, even if I actually get excess orders, I might not be able to fulfill all those orders this year because we have been able to produce only limited quantities, right? So the order book is not necessarily the indicator of sales, is what my CEO was trying to tell you, that our capability to supply this year is less based on the raw materials that we procured. So having said that, where we expect growth to come in is on tomato and guava, which had a poor season last year because of failure of crop. So this year with the good monsoons, we are expecting that the tomato and guava production would be higher, which should actually help us with respect to the growth in volumes.
Understood. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi team, couple of questions. The first one on tomato, which Anand is also talking about, looking at doubling the capacity. So are you exploring some new geographies apart from Hong Kong? Is that assumption correct?
I think Anand has explained that in Hong Kong, what we are targeting, that is to establish our own brand. That will not be a huge volume, because initially it will be low volume, later on it will progressively grow. But what is our target is B2B business. As you know, in India, ketchup is a huge business, whether it's Kishan or any other brands, big brands, whom we are supplying to all of them. So that business is growing in a sizable. Earlier, India used to import from China, a major producer on tomato. Now, post-COVID, there is a almost negligible import from China, so that's why India got the opportunity. So we are trying to take the advantage of that gap, and that's why we are establishing our capacity. The major growth will come from the India B2B business.
Okay. Just to add on to what our CEO just said, so obviously going to newer geographies is one of our strategies, basically because India is where we are actually producing. India will actually consume a lot, but obviously having different geographies available is a part of the strategy. Having said that, as I've already told on the call, Russia is one of the markets that we are actually exploring. Sri Lanka is another market that we are exploring. UK is another market that we are actually exploring for tomatoes. In FY23, we even sold to Spain. Spain is actually supposed to be the world's largest or the best producer of tomato pulp, but we were the company which were actually selling to a few companies in Spain. So geography-wise, we do continue to expand, and that will be a part of our strategy.
That's quite encouraging, Anand, that we are trying to break into a geography which is the largest producer of tomatoes. The quality that is procured maybe in the local area of Nasik of tomatoes, is it matching that for the requirements, maybe trying to offset the ones which are coming from China or maybe the ones which we are trying to supply to Spain?
Right. So with respect to this question, I think I've answered this in the previous call as well, wherein the lycopene value and the color value of tomatoes in India is actually poor, because of which the export markets do not consume that in large numbers. So India is the largest producer of tomatoes, but less than 1% actually gets processed, wherein MOFPI is actually taking a lot of steps to actually say as to how the lycopene value can be improved with respect to a lot of farmer support and farmer education with respect to what seeds needs to be sowed and what price it can be actually given to the processors as such. So these are baby steps which have been actually taken by MOFPI, but it will take some time for India to be competitive worldwide with respect to the color value and the lycopene value.
Okay. I'd like to highlight one more point. You have a very valid point, and I appreciate. That is a major issue in India today. If India has to grow business tomato in export market, these are the challenges must be overcome. So what we are doing, we have tied up with couple of seed companies who are importing seed under India guideline, and then they are trying to develop what is international market looking for. And two varieties in tomato which we are tying up with them and is giving successful results. So I think another couple of months we will be in a much better position to give you the answer that these two varieties, how we are performing on the productivity as well as improvement on the quality. And if we are able to get success in these two varieties, we are going to have a contract farming. We have already lined up with the farmers to grow these particular varieties. So we are very hopeful that we will be able to break these quality issues, not in a large scale, but at least significant, so you can able to make it.
Okay. Okay. Anand, you did mention that we were working towards some pastry line. And do you wish to share that, if there are some new products or something new that you're doing over there, would you like to share with the audience?
Rohit, so the pastry line is actually the outer covering which is actually, which goes in a samosa or a spring roll or even a confectionery item like a baklava that we eat. So that's a product in itself, and you would understand as to what could be the demand for samosas or the spring rolls all over the world, right? So there are not many competitors in this space which is actually there globally. So there are two brands which do well. One is Swiss and another is TG, what's the name?
TYJ. That is from Singapore. Earlier India used to import. I mean, till 5 years ago we only used to import this particular pastry which is required for the snacks item like spring roll or samosa or any other product. So there's one India company which is now producing, but we see there's a good demand in international market as well as in India. And I must share you that our first such line installed in March, and it is giving successful results. I think a couple of days ago, we have already exported the first container to UK, followed by a lot of orders are there. So with the success of this, we have already ordered two more lines, which is likely to be installed in the month of October or November, and followed by 5 more lines. So we are targeting to expand business in this category. And this is a good EBITDA margin business as well as good potential worldwide.
So we have two advantages in this pastry line. One is basically that we ourselves manufacture a lot of frozen samosas and frozen spring rolls. So it goes in for in-house consumption, wherein the pricing is much lower for us now than we used, from what we used to actually acquire from a Schwitz or a TYJ as such. Second is that we have actually opened doors to various customers globally, wherein we are now able to supply them their, for their requirements as such. So it's a great business to be in is what we think.
Anand, is it possible to put a number to this small venture business that you are kind of trying to explore?
I believe that if we are able to put these 10 lines, this can generate more than 100 per business.
Okay. We did see in the pulping business this year around or this quarter around that the prices of Thottapuri were slightly higher and almost double. So my question is that when we compare Alfonso versus Thottapuri, what sort of delta is there or what sort of difference is there in the realizations of the two?
No, realization is what is
that? Realization is, realization is, I'll tell you, if Thottapuri will be getting X and Alfonso will be getting 2.5X.
Sorry, sir, it was not audible. Can you please repeat?
If realization per metric ton for Thottapuri is X, then realization per metric ton for Alfonso will be 2.5X. This depends on the raw material price.
Okay.
But having said that, our portfolio actually has a lot more of Thottapuri than Alfonso, because worldwide Thottapuri is what actually runs well, because people don't know what great mango is. It's just for the name of mango that they buy mango, and that's what actually sells globally.
Low crop that came through from South India, do you think that the realizations for overall profitability for the year should be slightly better as compared to the last year?
So the realization not always actually helps me with respect to better profitability. It's the volume of the entire company or the operational leverage that comes actually helps me with respect to profitability, because it's always gross profit per kg, right? But having said that, there are some efficiencies that we would actually have basically because of the farmer relations that we have, wherein if the industry has procured at X, we might have procured at say X minus 1, and the pricing advantage would actually come to us. So that would yield us a better profitability.
That makes sense. Anand, is it possible to share that what sort of total deferment happened in terms of tomato as well as in terms of the Alfonso mangoes and stuff?
I didn't understand your question. As in deferment in terms of tomato?
Yeah, the orders that were deferred or maybe spilled over to the current quarter.
But take the order. What Anand communicated, that last year we had the opportunity to take our order up to 150 crores, but we didn't have the capacity. So he's trying to say that since we have expanded the capacity, we will be able to grab the order which was last year possible. So that is fair to say.
So this is with respect to the B2B business. So I'm just for the clarity of everyone, as in I think a lot of people are confused on the Hong Kong business and the B2B business. So Hong Kong business is the brand business, which is a very small part of the portfolio that we have. But the B2B business in tomato processing is where we have more than double our capacity. So last year we had a possibility of taking that order of around 150 odd crores, which we couldn't take up because of the lack of capacity. But when you visited the plant, I'm sure you've seen that capacity, and that's something that will be also helping us to, take orders in case it comes our way this year.
And the question was more towards the 11 crore, 10.5 crore that we were talking about. In addition to that, is there any more business that has been deferred? That is what I was trying to
say. Sorry, sales. That will be roughly around, I believe it will be roughly around, I have calculated, 9.8 or 10 crore roughly, which is deferred. We could not do it.
Approximately 25, all put together, as in all put together, including the 11 crore, would have been around 25 crores.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rohit.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Krishnan for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Shubhangi. I want to express my gratitude to all our investors and shareholders for their continued support. Your trust in our company is invaluable and we take it seriously. We have already laid a strong foundation for sustainability and are confident in our ability to grow with sustainability at the core of all our practices. Should you need any further clarifications or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you once again. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of On behalf of Foods and Inns Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.